Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Well, good evening, IB Nation, and welcome to another edition of IB Nation Sports Talk. I'm Vince D'Addario. That guy right over there is our special guest on IB Nation Sports Talk. That's Brian Driscoll. He is the czar of Driscoll Publishing, and he is here to lend his expertise to the mailbag, our Wednesday mailbag, and because our boy Sean Stiers is en route with the women's basketball team. They're on the road, and I should have looked to see where they were headed, but their game is tomorrow night. So he's on the road. I don't know where where in the world is Sean Stiers. I don't know where he is, but he's with the women's basketball team. So he is not going to grace us with his presence today. But Brian, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. And they're on their way to Boston, by the way.
Thank you.
Boston they play College. They play the Eagles. Yes.
Okay. All right. So hopefully they can bounce back from their lost to NC State.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, down not only losing Mabry, but not having Ebo on that. She's been so good in the paint this year for them. And they just played flat, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and when Sean and I talked about it, it was like they always seem to have a quarter where they just can't hit the broadside of a barn, for lack of a better term.
Well, and that's the one thing that Mabry brought to the roster. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure leadership and all that. So, but just as a basketball player, the only reason to have her on the court is because she can, if she gets hot, she can knock down threes.
Absolutely.
And they didn't have that. And then they didn't have that big presence down low to kind of help with get some offensive boards. And, you know, and she's really good on the defensive glass, starting fast breaks, getting the offense going that way, you know, things like that. So they just, it's just one of those nights. And I mean, they've played a tough schedule so far. I mean, the ACC is really good this year.
Sure.
And so you're going to have nights like that, but they'll bounce back. I have a feeling Boston College is going to catch one tomorrow. Because this team has been pretty good when it comes to losing. They bounce back pretty quickly and pretty ferociously.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, Eagle fans, but it's not going to be good for you tomorrow. But anyway,
don't think so
let's just jump right in. We've got some great questions in the queue, and I'm going to bring up the first one from Coleman. I don't know if Coleman's going to like our answer, but it is a touch of reality. But Coleman says, Vince and Brian, have both of you given much thought to covering men's basketball more? I know they suck right now, but diehard basketball fans like myself would be excited.
Well, at the end of the day, it's my decision. And we have talked about this a lot and looked into it a lot. We've tried it multiple times.
Yes, we have.
Including last year when they were good. And at the end of the day, this is a business, and part of the business decision is we have to spend our time properly, and we have a limited number of resources from a people that can produce content standpoint. And we're going to always cover football because that's who we are. It's what we do. Right. When it comes to covering the other sports, it's like, okay, well, let's work with certain institutions or certain parts of the program that we think, number one, that we want to cover. And so that's what we started doing men's basketball, because I enjoy men's basketball very much, want to support the team. To be honest with you, the first year we were doing it, it was just basically just me and Vince, and it was really just me when it came to covering basketball, because as far as going to games, because Vince couldn't, and you know, because of other obligations. And you know, so I signed up for a season credential, and I couldn't make some games, so let him know. And all these other things going on. And then eventually it was just, they pretty much said, hey, we're, if you can't come to every game, then, you know, can't come. So, okay, sure. Then just, I won't come. And they just made it very difficult to cover the team and not really fun to cover the team, to be honest with you. So it's like, you know, with all due respect, you guys should be begging me to cover your basketball team.
Especially now.
You know, and this was the year before when they were okay, but not as great.
Yeah,
and
they weren't great.
COVID hit and all that other stuff. But we've tried the last 2 years to cover the team. And the reality is it just nobody pays attention. We've had Tom Noy on our show several times, and Tom is so good. And he provides great insight and all that. And then it's always one of the lowest numbers we'll have on a podcast is when Tom Noy's on it. And it's not because of Tom. It's because we say, hey, we're going to talk men's basketball tonight. Nobody cares. The reality is you know, the only other sport that we've covered that's gotten any traction at all, when it's not like the College World Series, we got traction for that, but is women's basketball.
Yeah.
And so, and to, you know, we obviously have the in with Sean, so that makes it easier to cover it. But look, I have to make business decisions, and I have to pay people for the work that they do. And if I start paying people to cover the men's basketball team, I'm going to lose money. And if I start losing money, then I start losing employees, and we're back to where it was at the beginning, which is the website's basically just me. And then the podcast is me and Vince. So we're not going to cover the men's basketball team. I am curious what kind of energy might be created by a new coach. Because I think as much as a lot of Notre Dame fans loved Mike Bray for a long time and still to this day respect the job he did, at the end of the day, it just had gotten stale.
Yep.
It was a lot like at the end of the Brian Kelly era where people were just like, you know, this is who we are and this is where we're going to be. And, you know, and obviously Brian Kelly had more success end of his career than Mike Bray did. But it's just kind of like, this is your lot in life and you accept it.
Yeah.
And so it just, nobody really watches the article, reads the articles or watches a show about men's basketball. I'll write an article about the women's, the two girls on the men's, on the basketball team, the two signees that are in the McDonald's All-American game. It'll be one of the most read articles that we'll have that day.
Crazy.
Like when I had when Olivia Miles committed and then Sonia Citron committed to Notre Dame for 2 days in a row, that was the number one read story that we had. The JJ Starling committing, again, five-star guard, never reached the top five. So it's just, it's a business decision.
And the proof's in the numbers. I mean, it's right there in black and white and, you know, easy for us to see now, what people want to hear.
We'll probably give it another whirl when it comes to when they make a new hire. But as of right now, and hopefully our staff is bigger by then. Yeah. But as of right now, it's just not really it's not really a doable thing at this point in time.
Agreed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, Anthony Solomon says, do you see Ziegler in year two playing more full-time special teams, or will he play special teams and linebacker?
Well, I'm hoping he does both. Sure. Look, I think Notre Dame needs an influx in depth and length and speed at linebacker. I'm not someone who thinks the linebackers are slow by any stretch. I think they're good athletes, but I think the lack of length at some spots, and then with Maris, it's just execution problems.
Yeah. Right.
But there's no reason not to be playing the sophomore class of linebacker this year. Whether they start or not, they need to play. And then, of course, they need to be doing more on special teams. Absolutely. I'm fine with Notre Dame redshirting Nolan Ziegler. I think he's one of the few guys that's a five-year guy. You know, potentially a five-year guy. So I had no problem with the redshirting, but if he's not a full-time guy this year, then I'm going to seriously question kind of what's going on. And we have some more special teams questions that I'll hold off on getting my answer any further until we get to that question, Vince.
Okay, very good. I like that. I will ask another business-related question here because we were kind of in that vein, right? Irish Shaitan says, Brian, is Lucky Lefty now affiliated with Irish Breakdown?
It is, yes. So Lucky Lefty's podcast is still its own entity. But what we did is we've partnered with Lucky Lefty to where now we are hosting their podcast on our CFB Nation platform. The ultimate goal eventually is once CFB Nation is really where I want it to be, we'll have our national shows and all that, but we also want to sign some team-oriented talent and people that want to cover specific teams and have those on our podcast. So basically any college football fan of any team is going to have a desire or need to go to CFB Nation. Well, I couldn't do that and then not have a Notre Dame channel be the, you know, first one that we signed. And so I said, well, who do I want to have as far as the Notre Dame talent that's going to cover Notre Dame on that channel? And of course, we still have our Irish Breakdown team because I didn't want Irish Breakdown to be the Notre Dame because that just makes no sense.
Right.
And it made total sense to bring on Lucky Lefty podcast because they do things differently than we do. And I felt like we have a relationship already, obviously with Sean Davis being a part of the Irish Breakdown team as well from a recruiting standpoint. He's on our shows so much that it just it was a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought for like maybe 2 seconds about a couple other potential people, but it was just like, no, I'm going to go see if we can work something out with Lucky Lefty. And we were able to get a deal struck. And so now they are the Notre Dame channel on the CFB Nation podcast. So it affects the podcast side. It doesn't really affect the YouTube side. The YouTube side is they're still their own entity, but now their show you can find their show on the CFB Nation podcast app. So if you like listen to their show, but you don't want to listen to it on YouTube, you can definitely check it out on the CFB Nation app.
Beautiful. All right. I want to get that out of the way because that was a really fun like move for Irish Breakdown, for Lucky Lefty and the whole thing, just kind of bringing them into the umbrella and bringing them into the family.
So and they have that whole, you know, we spin it different thing, and that made sense. You know, I didn't want to bring in a show that's just like ours.
Sure.
I didn't want to bring in a show
they approach it differently. Yeah.
Yeah. They approach it differently. They talk about, I mean, they'll talk about same topics in different ways. It has a different vibe to it. There's just a lot of different things to how they do it. And there's also a lot of carryover with how they do it and in the way that they do things. So at the heart of it, there had to be, you need to kind of, you know, stick to football for the most part. The second part of it is like, I need intellectual honesty. All right. That needed to be a thing. You know, you want to stay away from the clickbaity type of stuff. And then you wanted someone who was willing to, you know, call a spade, so to speak. If you don't think something's going well, be willing to speak to that. And we're not, you know, Pollyannas and homers and all that other kind of stuff. And Lucky Lefty certainly does that. But the way that they go about it, the presentation, all the different, the way that they go about topics, they do a lot more interviewing former players than we do. There just was a lot of uniqueness to it that brought enough to me diversity in style, diversity in content. That made a lot of sense to pair with Irish Breakdown that I thought added to our package. And so like somebody emailed me like, hey, why don't you do more player interviews? And I'm like, well, I haven't responded to that person yet. I need to. Been so busy the last few days. It's kind of like, well, that's what Lucky Lefty does. And we'll do some of that. And the IB Nation Sports Talk Show, we do some of that. But
yep.
You know, I'm not trying to be like somebody else's podcast. I don't want to be like, I don't even start naming names, but like, so-and-so is interviewing former players. Well, good for him. I'm sure they were great shows, but like, that's not who we are.
Right.
right? I'm not trying to be like somebody else. And so, but we still have that. There's still merit to that. And that's why we started the Ivy Nation Sports Talk Show. And Sean's going to be doing a lot more of that once basketball's over.
Yes, he is.
And different things along those lines. But, you know, instead of trying to incorporate what others may do or what other ideas into our show, we're going to keep our show the same and then just add different types around it.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to me to do it is instead of making our one show like everybody else's, we're just going to do a little bit of everything in different formats and different hosts and things like that.
If player interviews is what you're looking for, well, I think we're going to have some good ones. Sean and I have been doing some talking and, you know, I think we're going to have some good stuff on here. If that's what you're looking for, well, there's good stuff as well.
Right. And some people like that. Some people don't. And that's the whole reason we're trying to grow Irish Breakdown the way that we are instead of me and Ryan added a second show or me and Vince adding a second show. Like, let's go get Sean Stiers, who's going to do things completely differently and bring his own flair, his own, and just all that's different. And people say, well, you know, that's, somebody said to me once, like, you know, that's not really a typical Irish Breakdown show. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
Right. Like, I want different. You know, and of course we have the Lucky Lefty crew that they also will bring in former players and do that. So we'll have plenty of that under the umbrella. And that's the whole point is, you know, eventually I want to kind of have it where it's almost like a, you get up in the morning and then you go to bed at night. There's going to be an Irish Breakdown show at some point in time that you're going to have a chance to listen to.
Right.
And we'll be able to kind of make sure we're touching on everybody's desired flavor, so to speak.
There you go. All right, a little prognostication here from Anthony. He says, what is your feeling on how the starting guard positions will shake out?
Well, it's interesting. We talked a lot about that, Vince, today on our show.
I thought you might have.
You know, obviously, Andrew Kristofic goes into the spring. I would imagine is sort of the leader in the clubhouse at one of those positions. He started, what, seven games in 2021 and really helped him and Joe Alt stepping in the lineup about the same time really helps solidify that line and kind of calm it down.
Agreed.
And bring a level of consistency to it. In 2021, he got beat out this spring just because of how good Zeke Carell was. And he was kind of behind a pretty good group of offensive linemen. And the thing is, Andrew still has 2 years left after this because of the COVID year. He still has the sixth year possibility. So he, to me, is the leader in the clubhouse, but he's going to be in a battle. You know, you're going to have Billy Shrouth competing for one of those jobs. You're going to have Rocco Spindler competing for one of those jobs, potentially Ty Chan, in my opinion, competing for one of those jobs. You could maybe see an Ashton Craig be a sleeper, although I still think they like him at center. You know, maybe it's Charles Jagasaw when he gets there in the fall. You know, Sam Pendleton's an early enrollee. There's a lot of options at guard. Yeah. So right now, if I was a betting man right now, I'd probably put a nickel on it being Andrew Kristofic and Billy Shrouth.
Yes, those are my
two. Is where I'd probably go right now. But I'm not counting out Ty Chan. I'm not counting out, I mean, even potentially Michael Carmody, if he can have a good offseason. There's a lot of options. And we'll see who dukes it out. Whoever starts is going to have to win the job. And I don't mean that like, I mean, he's going to have to play well. It's not so much like, well, we don't really have anybody. I guess we're going to have to play that guy. Whoever's going to start at guard is going to have played well because there's a lot of good players in that conversation.
Completely agree. And that's the exciting part about the guard position at Notre Dame right now is that whoever wins that job is going to have to beat out some really, really good talent. And so that two deep at guard, I think, is going to be really, really good. So, you know, how that shakes out. I mean, if you're asking us to go too deep, that's even a little bit more complicated, in my opinion, because you just don't know who's going to be in that fight by the end of the spring. And then will it even be settled by the end of the spring? I don't know the answer to that. It might carry over into the fall, just like you said, with Jagasaw coming in. He's not even going to be a part of it in the spring. So he's going to come in the fall. Is he going to be able to shake some things up, move into the two deep, you know, potentially? So it's going to be very interesting to see how guard shakes out. I like the fact that there are multiple options right now and that it's not we got two guys. Congratulations. You're it. Like, that's a good place for Notre Dame to be. And look, I got a lot of faith in Harry Hiestand. He's going to find the two best guys, and those two guys are going to play, and they're going to excel, and it's going to be good. So that is going to be a fun battle to watch at the end of the day. So, all right, Tyler wants to know, how would you utilize Jadarian Price to complement the three backs that we saw in 2022?
Well, the first thing is, if they use Chris Tyree effectively and properly, the first thing I would do, Vince, is I'd have Jadarian Price, if he's healthy, would be my kick returner. That's okay. The first thing that I would do. Okay. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I love that idea because they need to get Chris Tyree more involved in the offense. And if that's going to be the case, then having him not as a returner, I think is a good place for him to be. You know what I mean? They need to be number one. Notre Dame needs to be in more two back sets. And of those two back sets, Chris Tyree needs to be that second back more often than not, because he brings that different element to the offense that they should be looking for, right? Moving him around, putting him in motion, however you want to do it, he needs to be that second back. And so if you're going to do that, well, take the burden of being a kick returner off of his shoulders and let Jadarian Price be that guy, because he could be very effective back there as a kick returner as well.
As far as the running back aspect of it, Vince, it's hard to play four running backs. I mean, three is a challenge.
Yeah.
And it can be done with the right group, but three is a challenge. Four is just not possible as far as the regular rotation. What I think you could do is there's going to be some games this year where Notre Dame's going to have a chance to have some blowouts. And they need to have those blowouts, right? I'm sorry. With all due respect, Navy needs to be a blowout. With all due respect, Tennessee State, Central Michigan need to be blowouts. And then there's going to be a couple other games that maybe you don't predict it's going to be a blowout, but it becomes. I think that Notre Dame was going to beat Pitt 45-3 in 2020 when they had that pretty good offense? No, I didn't think so. But you had a blocked punt, you had a couple of big plays. Right, next thing you know, a 14-3 competitive games, 20-3 like that.
Right.
You know, you had the Bo Bauer pick, you had the Jeremiah Usikuma-Moa pick, you had the block kick, and all of a sudden a competitive game is just out of control. And there's going to be a game or two like that, right? I didn't think Boston College was going to be 44-0. I mean, they had just coming off of a road win, and they weren't very good, but they were just coming off of a road win over a really good NC State team. And Notre Dame was coming off a game against Navy that they almost blew a big lead in the second half. This is how it goes sometimes. So the thing is, when those games happen, get Jadarian in there as early as possible.
Yeah.
Would be my thing. But that's why I like the idea of if Chris Tyree is being used correctly, you don't have to have him back there returning kicks. And you can put Jadarian back there and give him a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Because they may be more prone to try and kick to him than they were Chris Tyree. Because nobody tried, not very few people tried to kick to Chris Tyree this year.
Right.
They had Wisconsin flashbacks in their head.
I was hoping to have Wisconsin reruns, but we never really had a chance to see that,
right,
unfortunately. So.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know what? Let's jump into a little bit of recruiting. We got a couple of recruiting questions we can get to here from Coleman. He says, over under 10 commits by the end of spring ball. Like 10 total or 10 more?
Total. I think he's total. Okay. I would say over.
Right. Where are they at now?
Seven.
Six or seven? Okay.
I think they'll add another one here very soon.
Okay.
So then they'd get down to two by the end of spring, so that's end of April 22nd, I think they'll be at 10. I think they'll definitely be, at the very minimum, at 10, probably over, would be my guess. Now, they're not pushing for guys to commit like they were last year because it's going to be a smaller class.
Right.
So they're allowing the process to play out as they shape the board at a couple positions. But, yeah, they'll be at the very least at 10. But if I had to predict now, I definitely would say over on that.
Okay. I like that. Anthony wants to know what your feelings are on the absurd 247 final rankings. I think Notre Dame had two players in the top 100. I'm ready for the IB unbiased rankings show.
Well, we won't be doing an IB show. We'll be doing it on CFP Nation. So we'll be doing it on that channel as far as like the rankings for everybody. But I'll say this on this show, what I said on the other show. If you're going to tell me that rankings are absurd and they're bad, you've got to be able to tell me that they're absurd and bad beyond just the Notre Dame rankings.
Sure.
Because if the only thing you got, you'd have to tell me that the only school that they're biased towards is Notre Dame. And there may be some truth to that, especially with certain networks. Like Rivals has a couple people there that I believe are anti-Notre Dame, but not everybody there is anti-Notre Dame.
Right.
I think 24/7 Sports just sucks at it. I do think that there's someone that's a higher up in the 247 rankings process that's very anti-Notre Dame. But there'd be enough people to kind of trump him to get a couple guys in there. I just don't think they're good at this. And I think that's number one. I think the other part is that they are – it's all about driving engagement. And engagement's the thing now. It's not – the whole integrity of doing the job the best you can, clicks be damned, is not a thing. It's you know, they may say it, but they got a business to run. They have and their business model is built on clicks. Mm-hmm. And ours is not as driven by that or driven by that at all. And so that's just the reality of it. But the thing with 247 is it wasn't just Notre Dame rankings that I found absurd. I mean, having Jackson Arnold number 8, I wouldn't even have him as the number 8 quarterback, much less as the number 8 player in the country. You know, David Hicks is a guy that I like a lot. 7's way too high. Jerry and Dickey at 21's way too high. Just going through some of the these other ones a little bit. There were some other guys that I thought were way too low on this one. Like, let me just kind of go down through this, Vince, because I had gone through this the other day and just kind of pointed out some of the absurdity of some of these rankings. But you had some guys like Chase Besantis is a top 50 player. He's not even top 200 player on my board. And that's evidence by, to me, you want support for why that's accurate. Because actually, is this the composite? Yeah, that's the composite. So he was not that high on them. I'm sorry. It's even, let me find it here. So they had Jackson Arnold at 10. Ooh, okay, big difference. So that's Jerry and Dickey at 18. That's a little nuts, in my opinion. I don't see that one. Deshaun Womack's a little overrated at the 26. The Pierre kid that's going to Alabama, he jumped way up because of an all-star game. I mean, I just if you're moving a kid up or down because of an all-star game, I have a problem with that whole process.
That's lazy.
It's very lazy. They had Charles Jaggs on the top 50. That's where he should be. Let me find a couple more here. I'm going to go down to some of these lower ones and just find some of the ones that I just thought were nuts, even taking the Notre Dame aspect out of it. They had Chase Besantis at 72. Again, not a top 200 player. They have Chase Besantis over Jason Moore. They had Jason Moore all the way down to 74. That's way too low for Jason Moore, in my opinion. If you have him outside the top 50, I don't think you're doing this thing right. Let's get to a few more of these. I mean, there's a lot of these that I could point to, and I went through this the other day. Here's some guys they had outside of the top 100 that I just thought was I'm very curious. They dropped Tyler Williams at 110. Have you seen him, Vince, the receiver going to Georgia? He should absolutely be in the top, way inside the top 100, in my opinion. He's got a ton of talent. Luke Montgomery's way overrated, but everybody way overrates Luke Montgomery. Got Blake Purchase too high. Let's see here. Olaus Alanin, if that kid, the kid from Connecticut, if Olaus Alanin was going anywhere but Bama, he'd be ranked much lower. Mm-hmm. They have Shelton Sampson, this receiver going to LSU, ranked 139th. I have that kid as a 5-star. So I think that one's way off as well. So if I'm going to tell you that you're jacking up the rankings with a kid from LSU, then you know that I think you're jacking up the rankings because I have no desire to hype him up. Anyway, shape, form, or fashion. So anyway, just the moral of the story is I just don't think they're good at rankings. And I think they take way too many things into consideration that are more about clicks and storylines and all that other nonsense and relationships. And I know this coach. I know that coach. I want to keep this coach happy. I want to keep that coach happy. I want to make sure this kid's talking to me and all these other – they just put so much of that stuff into rankings that it just makes their rankings pretty much useless to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we – here's my thing, though. If you think they're absurd – stop watching them. Stop reading them. That's what I'm saying. And look, because us talking about it right now, this is what they want. Because Absolutely. They want everybody here going to click on their to see how absurd their rankings are.
Yep.
And guess what? They're making money.
It's clickbait.
That's right.
Yep.
And we fall for it every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
All right. I think this is probably the special teams question you were looking for. So let's jump right in. Brian Lucas says, do you think Notre Dame playing a lot of their starters on special teams takes away opportunities of those not starting or on the two deep to see the field, gain confidence, and make their presence known? This is a good question.
It does. Yes, it absolutely does. Yeah. But it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And here's my point on that, Vince. If it's close, I'm playing the younger guy.
Sure.
Because I want to give them the opportunity to get on the field, have some of those moments. But if it's not close, I'm playing my starter. Mm-hmm. Because look how much special teams impacted Notre Dame winning and losing games this year.
Yeah, big time.
And so if you're gonna give me this whole, well, special teams is every bit as important as offense and defense, and then be unwilling to play your starters on there, then you don't really mean that. You're just giving lip service to it.
Yeah. Yep.
And so for Notre Dame, it's not lip service. The reason that Jordan Patejo is on special teams, all those special teams, is not because they want to get him snaps. It's because he's one of the best 11 on that unit. Same with Prince Colley. It's not, well, let's find a chance to get Prince some snaps, you know, since he's not playing linebacker. It's like, no, Prince Colley's really good at that special teams role that he has.
Right.
Now, some players don't embrace that. Some players are still pissed off that they didn't play more at this position they're supposed to play, even though they were like full-time stars on special teams. It's just the way that it is. I mean, hey, let's ignore the fact that David Bruton was like a borderline Hall of Fame player as a special teamer in the NFL. I'm being a little hyperbolic about the Hall of Fame part, but David Bruton's in the NFL for over a decade.
Yeah.
Because of his special teams, and that is it. You know, so, you know, look, I mean, that's an important aspect to it. Like I said, if a guy is significantly better, play that guy. If it's close, I want to get the younger guy on the field. There's no question about it. And in some instances, I would give a younger guy more of a chance to win a spot, to be honest with you. But that's where it's going to be.
Okay. I like that. I think that's a really good point. If it's close, go with the younger guy. Give your starter a blow. I have no problem with that. But if this guy's just head and shoulders above, I mean – Chase Claypool playing, you know, as a gunner, you know, it's just an example. Like, he didn't want to come off the field. He wanted to do that, and he was really, really good at it. You take him off the field, your gunners aren't as good. I mean, bottom line, right? So, yeah, if you've got a kid that's pushing for a spot, you give it to him. But, man, special teams is so important. We saw it last year, like you said. And, you know, we can all agree that Brian Mason is a good coach. But we can also all agree that having good players can help make you a good coach. And since he was able to dive into starters and really good players, he was able to maximize their ability on his special teams to make his special teams even that much more, you know, that much better. I mean, Isaiah Foskey had blocks, you know, pump blocks. Does whoever you put in his spot that's not a starter have that same effect? I'm going to say no. I mean, maybe, but
and
I'm
if not, you're doing an injustice to your team by not playing him.
Exactly.
Or by playing that guy.
Yes.
100%. And not playing Foskey. Right.
Right. Yep. So, all right. First of all, Anthony shooting us with a super
those are
chat,
called super chats.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I can't remember the name. What is wrong with me? But that's a super chat from Anthony. Thank you very much. Anthony says, thanks for the OG holding down the show, referring to this guy over here. So appreciate that very much, Anthony.
I think he was referring to the OGs. I think he meant that plural.
And I'll take that. I will take that as well. So thank you very much, Anthony. Much appreciated. Irish Chi-Town, Brian and Vince, who are your five top players that you're most excited to see in 2023?
Well, I get excited about seeing guys we either haven't seen before or guys we haven't seen a lot of. So like, I'm not excited to see Joe Ault again. I'm looking forward to watching him dominate again, but it doesn't like excite me, that kind of thing. I wouldn't even throw Sam Hartman into that conversation because it's more about like, I'm curious, you know, but I'm not like excited. What excites me is like, I want to see Tobias Merriweather maybe break out this year. I want to see, you know, kind of which defensive lineman breaks out. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing like, you know, what Josh Burnham does this spring and seeing what kind of player he can be. I'm really looking forward to watching some of the young linebackers kind of really take that next step. A guy that we talked about, one of the guys I'm excited to see, this spring, and I'm not even to 2023 fall yet, Irish Hightown. So right now, I'm on the spring. Like, I can't focus on the season as much until we see the spring. But I talked about Billy Shrouth. I'm really excited to see Billy Shrouth this spring and see what he's made of and what he's capable of.
We've heard so much good, so many good things.
Yes,
but like, I want to see it with my own eyes.
Yeah. We talked about earlier in the week. I'm really excited to see Chance Tucker. I'm really hoping that him or Ryan Barnes can really emerge as legit players this spring, which then maybe can allow the Notre Dame coaching staff to move Clarence Lewis to safety, where I think he could be a really good player.
Yeah.
So it's usually, Tyson Ford. I'm really looking forward to see Tyson. So do I have a five? I'd probably go Tobias Merriweather. I'd go Billy Shrouth. I'd go Nolan Ziegler. I'd go Chance Tucker / Ryan Barnes. That's a duo that's going to take up one spot. And then pick a sophomore defensive lineman, and you can use him there. Whether it's Burnham or Tyson Ford or Eddie Gobira or Junior or Domin Hynish. Pick one of those guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing one of those guys. See which one of those guys can really break out this spring. If I had to pick a veteran on the offense and defense, I don't know if I'd say excited, but I'm anxious to – I guess I'm kind of excited to see if Mitchell Evans can make the jump. I think he's capable of making in year two. He'd be one on offense. And then on defense, Vincent's Riley Mills.
Okay.
And part of it's excitement, but part of it's maybe not excitement is the word, but maybe curious to see if he can become the dude up front, because that's going to be a big thing. Somebody's got to become the dude up front, because you're two dudes left. And so who's going to become that dude with – Foskey and Adamiola gone? Is it going to be Riley Mills? Hope so, but we'll see. People say, are you excited to see? But I'm not excited to see what Battelle can do. I just want to excited to see that he's there every day and hasn't done something to not be there anymore. That's that's all I care about. Because if he's there, he'll be fine.
Agreed. So the way I took this question is, when I walk onto that first practice in spring, or the first full practice we get to see, who am I going to be watching? Like, where's my attention outside of where you assigned me to go watch?
I know,
like,
the first one.
Where's my attention going to go?
I know the first one.
Sam Hartman is my number one. I'm sorry. That's who I'm excited to see. I want to see, obviously, if what he did at Wake Forest translates to Notre Dame, and if he's able to elevate the guys around him, and we're going to get a taste of that in the spring. We're not going to get a full taste until the fall and there's actual games. Sam Hartman's the number one on my list. I'll quickly go through. I want to see if Ben Morrison, what does his next step look like, to be honest with you? Because now there's a lot of film on Ben Morrison, right? And what are defenses going to do to him? So that's more of a fall thing, I think, than maybe even the spring. But
That's more of a when's the first game?
Yeah.
Okay, don't care about Navy. Okay, so when's the next real game? Yeah. Okay, NC State. Whenever NC State game comes up, that's when I care about Benjamin Morrison is going
to
be.
So I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see Billy Shrouth. I had him on my list as
Can I just say something? Yeah. Wasn't it hilarious that Notre Dame made this decision, the schematic decision not to play Benjamin Morrison early against Navy? And then they finally put him in the game, and he starts making plays. It's just like, you guys overthought that one a little bit too much.
A little bit. I love it when they overthink Navy, by the way. Just putting that out there.
Exactly.
Xavier Watts and Tobias Merriweather. Those are my other two.
Xavier one.
I am ready for him to just take off. Really just put a stranglehold on that starting position. And look, he's the starting safety. Let's see what you got, man. I want to see his leadership. I want to see his... just everything.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I almost kind of take him for granted a little bit, Vince.
I know, right?
But you're right. You're right. I got to pull this one up from Salty Virginia Peanuts.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Here we go. Because he's obviously Jane Greathouse is the guy he's looking for.
Oh, I know. The great one.
And then there's this one. Don't lie, Vince. It will be cheerleaders practice. Hey, look, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to be keeping Vince under control. If Sam Hartman comes out there and he's dealing and Tyler Buckner is dealing and those two quarterbacks are dealing early in practice, I'm going to have to be like, Vince, you cannot cheer. I'm going to have to ask you to leave if you don't cheer. You're making me look bad.
Like, let's go!
Because he's going to be so fired up. He's going to be trying to look around high-five and something. Like, chill, man, chill.
Dude, come on, man.
But he's going to be super fired up. Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, man. I'm hoping we get a little more access this spring than we did last spring, but we'll see what happens.
Two practices is more access for me, so.
That's fair.
Yeah, for all of us. Yeah,
that's a good point. I'll put it this way. I hope they're also on Saturdays as opposed to during the day.
They won't be. That's too convenient.
I know. A guy can dream, though, right?
I have a feeling they're going to continue to cut our access back. Just knowing who I believe is in charge of making that decision, Vince, and right. I think you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
They're definitely going to limit our access because,
I do.
I'll be shocked if they give us more access this spring.
And,
shocked.
You know, we're going to get more like awkward practice reports from the first 20 minutes of practice. Like that's what we're, boy, what so and so looked great in the stretch line again. Woo! You know. Yeah.
Well, look how good he was going through routes on air. He's going to be a star this year.
He's going to be a stud. Look out.
Okay.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.